America should have been the freedom example for the entire world on how to deal with a pandemic. I apply that same thing to the American civilians, those were Americans, of Japanese descent in World War II. We rounded up 100,000 American civilians and locked them up without cause because they were Japanese. Now, I forget how Japanese you had to be. I think 1/8. I may have that wrong. Don't quote me on that. I think you had to be 1/8 Japanese to qualify. America, even during a war, World War II, even during a war, America should be the freedom example. And look, maybe I'm biased on this. You know, I try to be honest about my biases because I have them. I'm not an unbiased person. I'm honest about my biases with Ted Cruz. I've told you that forever. He's a friend, so it makes me biased in ways I probably shouldn't be. I don't care if you like that or not. I stand with my friends. I'm biased when it comes to Japanese people, too. All cultures are not equal. Some cultures are hot garbage, absolute hot garbage. They still stone women to death in Afghanistan. That's a trash culture. Japanese culture is wonderful. I have always loved it. I realized they had some not so great moments during that whole World War II era. I enjoy Japanese people. I enjoy Japanese culture. I enjoy Japanese food. I like Japan. I think it's a cool place. So maybe I'm biased because of that. I can't believe we took 100,000 American civilians and threw them in a camp. And maybe more unbelievable than that is some of the people from those camps chose to join the military and fight anyway. And we were so worried, even though they did that, we were so worried about them still being spies. We made all Japanese units, you may not know about this, and we sent them over to the European theater because we didn't trust them in the Pacific theater. And they went over to the European theater and fought like lions. I'm going to forget his name, and I'm sure I'd screw up the pronunciation anyway. One Japanese guy won the Medal of Honor in Italy. Gosh, I cannot remember his name right now. I should actually do that Medal of Honor citation soon. This dude was just stacking bodies and ending lives out there. The Japanese units were fantastic. Fantastic. I get what you're saying about hard times, got to make hard choices, those things. I just think as a country, we should always go with the freedom solution. Huh? Even though I'm sure there are a lot of Trumpers out there upset with your view on Trump and the vaccines, you're right and people need to hear it. I love Trump and I couldn't agree more with you. Thanks for not being gutless, Senior Kelly. Didn't say I could say your name. What she's referring to is earlier this week, I played that interview. I'm not going to bother playing it for you again. I played that interview with Donald Trump where he was being interviewed and he started trashing all the GOP guys. Why aren't they talking about the vaccines? Why didn't they admit they got their booster? These guys are cowards. The vaccines, it's just vaccine, 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 vaccine. And I got really frustrated and lost my temper a little bit on the air. Blood pressure went up just a little bit. I could actually feel it in my head pulsing when I was yelling. But I got frustrated because I feel like he's on an ego mission now to get credit for something instead of a mission to save the country. That's what I went off on. That doesn't mean I dislike Trump. I'm with her. I thought he was a great president. I loved him. If he can change and drop all this madness, you know, totally going to support him again if he's the one who comes out of the primary field. But we have to be about something bigger now. And by the way, to your credit, I did not get blasted for that stance. That was a hard stance to take on the most popular Republican in America. The emails into this show were 95%. Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. It was overwhelming people who agreed with me. And look, I think everyone who achieves any level of influence, I think they all make the same mistake. And I think Trump probably makes this same mistake too, because it's human nature. And this is the mistake I think people make. Whatever your influence level, whether you're an actor or an athlete, or maybe you're a pundit of some kind, or a president, or whoever you are. People with influence, because everyone is always around them, they have their own orbit. They have nothing but people around them saying how great they are, and you're wonderful, and this is the best, and you're great. you start to overinflate how much you are in control of what the masses think and do. It would be easy for, let's make it about me. That's always the best. That's my favorite. What, Chris? It's my favorite thing to do. In all seriousness, let's make it about me. What if, and maybe I'll do this one day. I don't know. Maybe it'll get to my head or something like that. What if I started thinking, oh, man, all these people listen to my radio show. They all watch my TV show on the first TV every night. I'm basically guiding these people and showing them what to think and how to think. I'm teaching all these people. I'm in charge. And I started going completely off the rails on certain issues and things like that. I'm not in charge of you. You would just leave, and you should leave. I'm not guiding the wave. I'm riding the wave. The same thing applies to Donald Trump. Donald Trump, very smartly, and he did, and I'm grateful he did it. He jumped on top of a wave that existed, a wave of American patriotism that was bubbling out there, of wanting to secure the border, of wanting to crack down on trade deals, of wanting this, of wanting that. There was an untapped base out there. He smartly recognized, tapped into it, and rode it into the White House. I think he thinks he's in control of it. And it would be normal. It would be human nature to feel like you're in control of it. He's at the rallies. Everyone's chanting his name. The dudes are waving at him. Pretty girls holding up Trump signs. It would be easy to feel like I am the commander of these people. And they will do, these masses will do as I see fit. That's not an insult. I think that's human nature. I think Donald Trump genuinely believes his base, they'll take anything he tells them to take. They will not. They'll leave you. Mr. President, they're going to walk out on you. They will. They're not robots. People, the communists are. They all go to the hive mind to figure out what to think and what position to take on an issue. The right is not that way. These are individual thinkers who were attracted to him because he was an outsider, because he was bolder, because he trashed the media, because of all these positions. He's not guiding the wave. He's riding the wave. And I think being president and the rallies and the billionaires and everything else, I think it makes it hard to see that. And that's not unique to him. Like I said, you see this all the time with people who will, they'll get super famous about something, and then they'll just completely go way off brand and off sideways, and they'll get crushed by their fans. And almost every time they're shocked by it. Why is everyone so mean to me? You thought you were guiding them. You're riding them. You're not guiding them. And now that rhymes, Chris, get ready for me to use that a lot. What? I like how it sounds. Mainly, I like how it sounds when I say it, Chris. Chris, please do me a favor. I need to hear it again. Would you play Dome for me? I'm sorry. I can't wrap my mind around Joe Biden's a disaster, and this is the backup plan. Remember, this person is likely going to be president within the next 3 years.
Does the administration say, you know what, this strategy isn't working? We're going to change strategies. Six former administration officials last week wrote that open letter urging the administration to change course, to change strategy. Is it time?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down.
That human being, oh man, I hate to even say this because it's such a dark thought. That human being is going to be president of the United States of America. Don't shake your head, Chris. She is. That human being is going to be president of the United States of America at some point in the next 3 years. Can you believe that? Can you believe that that human being is going to rise to the highest office in the nation? Oh, gosh. All right. Someone has a question about national divorce and the lines and how are we doing this whole thing. So I realize we haven't done any national divorce talk in a little while. I'm going to break down some national divorce talk for you here in just a second. It is is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. If you missed any part of the show, you can catch the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Let's get back to your questions here. I've been falling behind here. Jesse, if a national divorce happens, what will happen to swing states like my state, North Carolina? I'm sure other listeners in swing states would like to know. Says I can say his name. His name is Noah. Listen, this is how I envision national divorce happening. This is not how it's going to happen. This is how it should happen. I want to stress, I'm not naive. This is not how it's going to happen. How it should happen is this. The left, the communists, and the right, you, me, all of us, we just decide, hey, we hate each other. It happens. You've known couples like this. Maybe you've been in a relationship like this. Hey, we hate each other to the point where it's actually unhealthy and unsafe that we live together. It's better for you. It's better for me. If we just, let's just go our separate ways. And so from there, we hire a neutral arbitrator. So it wouldn't be someone like me, because you know where I stand. You know, it's not going to be Nancy Pelosi either. You know where she stands. We track down a neutral arbitrator, and we, with a few representatives from the right, of course, I need to be the lead representative, and then a few representatives from the communists, we come sit down. I don't care if it takes a week. I don't care if it takes a month. And just like some painful divorce arbitration, we sit down and we decide who gets what. Who gets the kids? Who gets the dog? Who gets the house? Who gets the cars? Only we'll be talking about other things. Who gets this state? Who gets this coast? Who gets how much of the Navy or Air Force? Who gets how much of the debt? Remember, you're not just dividing up assets. You're dividing up liabilities. Who gets how many nuclear weapons? What's our trade agreement between the two nations? Is there a trade agreement? How's immigration handled? I know this sounds pie in the sky. It's not, because I don't think it's going to happen. That's a long way to answer your question of, I don't know. I've always thought like this when it comes to national divorce. You get people on the right, understandably, because maybe this is you. You get people on the right who say, forget those communists. I'm not giving up anything. Okay. Every divorced buddy of mine I've ever talked to said those exact words at the beginning of his divorce process and ended up giving up stuff. She's not getting my dog. Yeah, she is. All right. At least part of the time. But she's never going to see the kids. Ah, she is. Okay. Let's understand, we didn't preserve a unified country. We allowed the communists to worm their way into our education system, our media, our entertainment. They have then worked their way from there into the lead of every single cultural institutions, from corporations to universities to politics to everything. They are firmly rooted in this country. We didn't do a good enough job keeping them out. That sucks, but guess what? Life's hard sometimes. You don't always get what you want. I wish that hadn't happened. It happened. They are in major positions of power in this country. We don't have the luxury of saying, they're not getting anything. Okay, yes, they are. Yes, they are. I don't want to give up. I mean, pick your state. They're not getting California. Okay, well, I don't know. We're not at the negotiating table yet, but they might. I don't want them to. I don't want them to get anything. I don't want them to have a thing. They're going to get something. We're going to get something. I know this is ridiculous. I honestly want it to happen, though. I do not feel as if this is healthy, and frankly, I don't feel like this is safe anymore to live in the same country like this, this divided. It's not safe. I've brought up this analogy before, and it's exactly what I mean. What we are right now as a nation, we're a husband and wife. The husband wants to move to the suburbs, white picket fence, raise some kids, barbecue, go to church, hang out with the neighbors. The wife wants to tour Europe with Metallica and do black tar heroin. Okay, there's no merging that. If he wanted to move to the suburbs, but she wanted an apartment in the city, Okay, they can work that out. We can work something out. They're not the same people. They shouldn't be together. They should go, for everyone's sake, for his sake, for her sake, they should go away. They should go their separate ways. This is not healthy anymore. They are absolutely hell-bent on burning this nation to its knees. If they had their way, every kid would be going through transition surgery to become a transgender. That is how sick they've become. We can't even agree on what men and women are anymore. I don't want to share a nation with somebody who would do that to a child. If you're somebody who gives your child puberty blockers because you told your child they can pick their gender, I don't want to live around you. And guess what? I fully acknowledge you probably don't want to live around me. You probably think I'm insane. Fine. Why are we living together? Why don't you go have your insane country? I'll have a normal country full of normal people. Chris, by the way, you have that email from that kid. We got an email from the kid. A kid emailed the show. Apparently he listens in secret, and I was supposed to read this before the end of the last hour. So we're not going to stiff the kid. I'll tell you that much. We're getting it to him. Oh, great and powerful Jesse. I'm a 13-year-old boy. He said, please don't think I'm stupid just yet. I wouldn't have thought you're stupid, brother. My family is all very Republican. And honestly, I think I know about the government to win a decent argument. Me and my friend both love your show and typically listen to the last hour and a half of it every night. I'd love to listen to more wisdom, but that's all I have time for at the moment with homework and all that jazz. I love this kid. In my school, we get all kinds of gays wearing pride flags as capes, furries, and he puts in parentheses, kids that identify as friggin' animals. What people identify as, that's real, Chris? Good grief. We have people pushing their BLM stuff at school. He said, all are white, by the way. Or their Trump hate at school. But we also have kids wearing Let's Go Brandon hats and Trump support hats and blue line shirts. I personally don't think schools should be a place for this. Kids get on full-on vaccine arguments yelling at lunch, and I'm guilty of severely hurting some somewhat snowflake liberals' feelings over the vaccine. What should I do? Should I worry about all this COVID BS and government stuff? I will answer your question in just a moment. It is the Jesse Kelly Show with me, Jesse, the Oracle, Kelly Chris, on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Back to these questions. I got to get to as many as possible because we're running out of show here. I'll recap it for you. He's a 13-year-old kid. Apparently listens at night. There's a bunch of politics in his school, everything from BLM flags to Trump flags and so on and so forth. And I'll just read the end of it here. What should I do? Should I worry about all the COVID stuff? Should I just not bother with learning it quite yet? I want, as a teenager, to have homework, grades, girls, and who I'm hanging out with on a Friday night to be the only worries on my mind. But they are not. What do you think an average American kid I should do? He said, this is my favorite part. If you can't answer this in the last hour of your show because I know this email is late, then please, and I know you don't answer emails, answer mine. Thank you for your words you share with me. Don't say my name on the air. My parents don't really know I'm listening until 10 o'clock. I love this kid. Thanks, Mr. Supreme Jesse, sir. All right. I get this question a lot, actually, from parents, and we do get some kids email the show. My kid wants to get involved. What should I do? My kid wants to have an opinion. What should I do? My kid wants to dress up as Trump for Halloween. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I don't like my answer. I think I'm correct, but that doesn't mean I like my answer, because I'll be honest with you. As a father, I have an 11-year-old and I have a 13-year-old, just like this guy's, just the same age as this guy. I tried forever to keep them away from politics because I wanted for them the same thing he describes. You know, I want my kids drinking too much Mountain Dew. I want them going out at night and scraping up their knees. I want them roasting marshmallows. I don't want them involved in all this crap we're involved in. I don't. That's not what I wanted. Now, that turned out to be extremely naive, just because, I mean, remember, I'm just a normal person who fell backwards into a media career 3 years ago. So my whole life, all they've ever known is me in construction or me selling RVs or something like that. That's all. So they've been normal. But now that I do this, it's inevitable. They listen to the show. They watch the show. They think it's cool. You can't avoid that. And so now when I get home sometimes, they want to talk about politics. They want to talk about Joe Biden. They want to talk about Black Lives Matter. They want to talk about it. And at first, I'll be frank, I didn't like that. It's because that's not what I wanted for them. I wanted something else. What's that old great John Adams line? I study war and politics so my sons can study mathematics and philosophy. It's that whole, I want to be in the fight so they can have normal lives. However, that's naive on my part, and that's wishful thinking on my part, and that's normal for a parent. The truth is, I should, and I do, be preparing my sons for the fight they're going to have their whole lives. It's not as if you and me are just going to wrap this bad boy up here in a couple days, and then our kids can move on. We have 100 years of fighting back against the communists. My sons, your daughters, they're going to have to wade into that muck. They are. They're going to have to be part of that fight. You, brother, 13 years old, get equipped. I'm not telling you to go get in trouble in school. Keep your head down, keep your nose clean, stay out of trouble in school. I'm not saying that. You might have to get involved, though. And why not? Why not? Why not get involved? It's not exactly uncommon for a 13-year-old to be taught the values of his parents and aimed in a specific direction. So parents with kids, you who wrote in the email, anyone curious about this? I'm not saying you have to go out there and start screaming at every liberal protest. Don't start doing stuff like that. You want to start learning the issues, learning how to think on things? I think there's incredible value there. But remember, I want you to remember something too. And this applies to everybody, myself included. Don't think just being loud on something means you're ready to get involved in the political arena. Read. You have to read and come up with some kind of basis of knowledge out there for why you believe what you believe, or the communists will break you down. And there are great online resources too. Maybe you hate reading. There are great online resources for this. Different videos about various positions and subjects out there. What do you feel about taxes? Why do you feel this way? The role of government here, illegal immigration, abortion, pick your issue. Even if you can't read, there are wonderful resources out there available to you. Prager University is a huge one out there right now. Prager University is a huge one. Now, I admit I don't watch a ton of it, but I know people who do and they like it. So I'm not pitching for Prager. Just know there are a lot of things like that out there available for you. Get involved. Regarding your 2024 GOP primary, who would be on your big board? Do you have a list of favorites you would like to see run against these lunatics? I don't. And this is why. My personal friendship with Cruz aside, I don't fall in love with politicians, and never have, and I never will. Even Cruz. I'm fully aware that Cruz has flaws, maybe gigantic flaws that will keep him out of the Oval Office, and that's fine with me. I don't worship the guy. He's just a friend. I don't worship any politicians, ever. Not Trump, not DeSantis, not Cruz, not Pence, not anybody. And because of that, I don't have what you call a big board. And this is the reason why. You've heard me say it 1,000 times before on the show. I view the administrative state. I'm talking about the DOJ, FBI, NSA. The weaponization of the administrative state against Republicans. I view that as being the most dangerous issue in America today. That's not a side issue. It's a big deal. If we're about to have the NKVD in this country, a really big deal. I want to hear which Republican candidate will speak about it and speak about it boldly. Not in some passing halfway thing where, all right, but hey, let's throw the base a quick bone here and then we can move on to taxes. I love taxes. I want to hear who is willing to step up and publicly speak boldly about the dangerousness, I don't know if dangerousness is a word, about the dangerousness of the FBI aiming its sights at Americans. The Biden administration is out there creating new domestic terrorism groups just to focus on you and me. Man, that is wild. That is wild. And if the next Republican running for office is not willing to speak out in a bold way against that and promise massive reforms when it comes to that, I'm out. I don't care who they are. If you're not willing to speak boldly about that, I'm out. If I have to hear one more freaking person on the right talk about the good men and women at the FBI, I'm going to vomit in the trash can. Where are they? It's not that I don't think they exist, but where are they? Where are the whistleblowers as the Federal Bureau of Investigation aims its sights on half the country? That's a big deal. And so I didn't mean to give you a mealy-mouthed answer there or dance around the subject, but that's why I don't have a big board yet. I watch and I wait. No, I'm not all in for anyone. I'm not all in for Trump. I'm not all in for DeSantis. I'm not all in. Pick your candidate. I'm not. I want to wait and see what they talk about. As I brought up before, I want to wait and see what Trump talks about. If Trump is going to talk again about securing the border and cleaning out the swamp and stuff like that, all right, I'm listening. If I'm going to get a pharmaceutical rep from Trump for the next year, I'm out. Goodbye. I'm done. I'm done with it. Doesn't know what time it is. I'm done. All right? All right, we're going to get to as many Ask Dr. Jesse questions as I can rapid fire blow through in the final segment. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget you can email your questions into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris, I'd almost forgotten that Big Tech wanted this clip censored. They started deleting it off of Twitter and other social media sites. So because of that, we need to make sure we play it often on the show because you can't censor me. This is the CEO of Pfizer.
And we know that the two doses of the vaccine offer very limited protection, if any. The three doses with a booster, they offer reasonable protection against hospitalization and deaths. Deaths, I think, very good.
Well, I'm sorry? Very limited protection, if any? Okay. Back to your questions here. Jesse, my libtard brother insists that 10 to 12% of people who get Omicron die. Do you have any stats? I think it's closer to 1 or 2%, if that. I usually don't find really tall guys attractive, but you sure are handsome. All right. It's not even close to 1 or 2%. It's way, way less than 1%. But this is back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, the challenge we have. You're not talking to somebody who needs a little bit more education on like one issue. You're dealing with someone who resides in a world of make-believe. If you are someone who simply, you watch traditional news sources, you read the New York Times, you watch ABC at night, you're so misinformed, you don't live in the real world. You don't live in the real world. So I would highly recommend this, because it is your brother. Be as gentle as humanly possible with it. You can send him statistics. Send him graphs. Send him charts. Send him statistics so he can read. Don't be frustrated, though, if that doesn't work. Because remember that Yuri Bezmenov clip we've played for you 1,000 times where he talks about, once people have been demoralized, how does Yuri put it? True facts mean nothing to him. He said you could take these people to the Soviet Union and show them the concentration camps and they still wouldn't believe it. Once you've existed in a world of make-believe for long enough, sometimes you can't be saved. Jesse, I was on a long road trip with my fiance recently, so obviously I had to play Freebird and jam out. Flying 90 down the highway. About 2 minutes into the guitar solo, she changed the song. Should I have left her beep in Nashville? His name is Matthew. Yeah, you should have left her in Nashville. Forget about Nashville. You should have left her on the side of the road. Yeah, I'm a fan of Trump too, but I want DeSantis as president. And we both know that Trump keeps on pushing those vax, and I thank you for pointing this out. We know that he's playing Super Trump with his cape to save the day with a life-saving vaccine. And so he won't let up on this. He'd rather stay with the corruption to support his ego rather than do the right thing and expose it. It's now the pandemic of the vaccinated. Have a great weekend. I'll tell you, as hard as I was earlier this week on him, I'm not ready to just write Donald Trump off. Donald Trump, let's keep in mind, Donald Trump did a lot of good as president of the United States of America, and his mere presence there exposed just how deep the rot goes in this country, just how corrupt the system is, just how stacked it is against you and against me. His existence there helped. Let's not dismiss that. Obviously, I hope someone gets to him. My hope is there is someone in his life who he trusts enough who can get to him and say, hey, I know you want credit for Operation Warp Speed. You've got to read the temperature of the room, pal. That's not, the base doesn't want to hear about warp speed right now. They want to hear about immigration and the FBI and all these other things. You've got to set this vaccine salesman stuff aside. I don't know whether that'll happen. I don't know whether he has someone like that in his life. Keep in mind, guys are prideful anyway. It's not exactly our best quality, but we're prideful anyway. We are stuck in our ways. It's hard to change us. You can still find me at Red Lobster. It's hard to change us. And I'm not an 80-year-old billionaire former president. He's a billionaire and the former president of the United States of America. Donald Trump doesn't look at himself in the mirror and assess himself and says, ooh, I need to change this, 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 and this. I don't like this. That he doesn't think in those terms. Guys who achieve on that level don't think in those terms. So I don't know that there's anyone in his life who can talk to him. Donald Trump has always been really, really, really good at figuring out what the base wants to hear. I have no idea whether he's been retired too long or what, but man, he is not saying it now. I'll tell you that much. I'm 38, and my father, who's in his 70s, both love how you call the left what they are, communists. I also prefer to spend my evenings watching war documentaries, and I consider myself a historian. But the hardest documentary for me to watch was about Mao and what he did to take control of China. It was pure evil, and I find it ironic how socialist supporters call everyone who doesn't agree with them Nazi when Hitler was a socialist himself. Mao, I think, that's hard to say with Stalin right there, and obviously Hitler's always competing. Mao might be the most evil human being to ever walk the planet. When you read about the things he did, we talk a little bit of... Oh, Chris brought up Pol Pot. Yeah, Pol Pot killed 25% of his own country. 25%. No one touched those numbers. No, Mao didn't touch those numbers. The thing about Mao is he seemed to be... I mean, Stalin was kind of... Like, Stalin had a gigantic book where he would sign off on the death warrant of a bunch of people. And sometimes in this book, he would write little notes about them, nasty little notes, traitor, things like that. So Stalin is evil. And remember, Stalin was a murderer before he was a dictator. He was a robber. He would go around and rob banks to give the money to the communists. He was a violent criminal before that. So Stalin was a violent, sadistic man. There are probably examples out there, and because we have so many history buffs who listen, I'll probably have someone who corrects me. I don't know that I've read about Stalin liking to watch people get tortured. Mao loved to watch people get tortured. He tortured to death, basically, one of his best friends. He insisted they videotape it so he could watch it over and over again. Though Mao's a different cat. All right, on that happy note, put a smile on your face. Keep your chin up. It's weekend time. That's all.